What's poppin'? This is your boy Nate Burleson. Make sure y'all tune in to the R&B podcast. Mike Robb is not here, but we got my man Rand Getlin in the building. We're talking Muhammad Ali. We're talking the best receivers in the game. And what else?
Man, we gotta talk about everything, especially Steph Curry having to battle that final IG model boss, as we said. Pray for Steph, y'all. Pray for Steph.
And we got you filling us in with the latest news in the NFL. This is a fire podcast. Don't miss it. Check it out. Go to NFL.com/podcast and on iTunes and Stitcher. This is the R&B podcast.
Going to the hurry up offense.
Yeah, it's time for the hurry up, and we are joined in studio by a very special guest, Ross Tucker. We'll get into saying hello to him in full in just a second, but it's time for the hurry up. First thing, Marshawn Lynch is retired, and he seems angry about even having to answer questions about it. Handsome Hank and Ross Tucker, is Marshawn Lynch ever going to put on a football uniform again?
I believe he's done. It's tough because you never know with him, but I'm gonna believe him. He seemed pretty adamant about it.
I know. Tell Richard Sherman. Stop yelling at us. It's your old teammate who's making it seem like you might still rethink this. Handsome Hank, I'll say you.
I think ever since Favre, the media has been very keen at unretiring players almost immediately. And I think it's fine to ask him the question, and I believe his answer right now. But when it comes to September, October, maybe November, I'm not so sure. I think you could easily see him play again.
Did you have difficulty, Ross, the first August, the first September, when you weren't playing football, or were you cool with your decision?
You know, it was really weird the first NFL Sunday because I really didn't know what to do.
What did you do?
I don't think I could watch it. I don't think I watched it. I think I just like went outside, did something with my wife. Like I had a tough time watching it. You know, since you're 11 years old, you think of yourself as a football player. Like, I'm a football player. And then at that point, after I got hurt, and I was on IR with the Redskins, I knew I was not a football player anymore, and it's tough.
But you went out. I just went bowling.
I didn't go to one game. I gave my tickets to somebody down there so I get free furniture while I was rehabbing my neck. Hopefully that's legal. I don't know. Anyway, that's what I did. And yeah, I guess on Sundays, you know, we went back to Pennsylvania for a lot of weekends. So Sundays I was driving back, like everybody else was watching the games. I kind of tuned it out a little bit because it was kind of painful.
Nice and unassuming, except that you wore your game jerseys everywhere, right?
No, I didn't go to one game. I didn't. I will say this, though. The last game of the year, I know this is the hurry up, but the last game of the year, since I'm on IR, it's like you're on the roster, right? So the Redskins were playing the Cowboys for the right to go to the playoffs. Cowboys were the number one seed already, locked it up, 2007. Redskins, if they won, they made the playoffs. So I go to Charleston, South Carolina. I'm with all my high school buddies for New Year's Eve. It was New Year's Eve. And I'm watching a football game where if the Washington Redskins win, they make the playoffs. I get $18,000 the next week for a playoff check. Let me just tell you, watching a football game, and I didn't gamble, it wasn't betting, but watching a football game in which you had $18,000, right. I watched that one. I watched that one very, very closely. Picture being with your buddies having a couple daddy sodas, watching a football game where if they win – you get $18,000, and they won, and it was a very good New Year's Eve.
I bet.
For the pals that you were with.
For me and all my buddies, it was a very good New Year's
McDonald's
Eve.
All the way around. As always, DDFP presented by McDonald's. Go get you some all-day breakfast. That's a nice gift for you and your pals if you find a windfall of loot
in
your life.
That's the best thing McDonald's has ever done.
That's right.
Because I believe sausage McMuffin with egg is the greatest sandwich ever created.
Ooh.
And now that I can have that, forget Permani Brothers, forget any of that stuff. Now that I can have it for lunch or dinner, sausage McMuffin with egg, after all these years, is still the greatest sandwich I've ever tasted.
There's some debate. You know, McDonald's stock has risen considerably in the last 10 months. You know, was it all day breakfast? Or was it, in fact, the association with Dave Damage? I mean, there are a lot of insiders debating which
right.
had more sway.
I think there's a third way, though. Maybe that you've been eating quite a lot of McDonald's.
Yeah, that's also true. But that's my business. Next question. Brock Osweiler's business is with the Houston Texans. So he says, so important is that business that he decided he didn't need to go meet the President of the United States. Handsome Hank, what did you think of Brock Osweiler not going going with his former teammates up to the White House.
I mean, it's a bad move not to go there, but can you imagine how awkward, after everything that happened, he wasn't even happy. I think you pointed this out. He wasn't happy during Super Bowl week, you know, being around the team then. By then, I think it would be too toxic for him to be, hey, John, how are you doing? Remember those negotiations? Terrible.
Yeah.
I play in Houston now.
You know, matter of fact, before you answer, let me show you a piece of what Handsome's talking about there. At media night, walking around, you know, doing my usual nonsense with the players, I asked Brock Osweiler who should start, if you can only start one Super Bowl, you have one QB to start the Super Bowl, should it be John Elway or Peyton Manning? Here's what he said. John Elway or Peyton Manning?
Myself.
I mean, obviously, you're not seeing that. You're just hearing it. But there was something about him behind his eyes that was defiant. I don't want to overstate it. He was a fun guy. He had a sense of humor. But still, that answer came real quick. Myself, that's who should be starting this game. He didn't even hear the Elway part of it.
Well, and let's be honest. I think the awkwardness is the major reason why he didn't know. I think more so than we have a new system.
Oh, yeah.
I hear represent the Houston. One OTA. I mean, there's teams that cancel an OTA. John Harbaugh's like, yeah, we lost three OTAs. No big deal. But Brock Osweiler is going to act like that one OTA is the difference. He didn't want the awkwardness, to which I would say, look, grow up, Brock, right? This is the only chance you're going to have. I got news for you. The Texans aren't going to win the Super Bowl. This is the only chance you have to go to the White House to meet the president, tell your kids and grandkids about it for years. Just be above the fray. You got $7 million more guaranteed, $2 million more a year than the Broncos were offering. Go there, and you're in a state with no state income tax now. Go there and be like, hey, John, Gary, how are you?
Yeah.
Nice to see you. Things are going real good.
It was all business.
Be above it.
Right.
You don't not do things in life because it might – you don't not do awesome things in life because it might be a little awkward. That's what wimps do.
Oh, that's on my list of 27 reasons why I don't do most anything in life except the things that I'm absolutely positively required to show up to do. That's how I make my decisions. Couple things off of that, though. One, do pro football players – even if you leave a team, do you suppose that the Broncos teammates are sort of like, good for you, Brock, as long as they thought he was a good guy at the time? Do you, are
100%.
They? 100%. I mean, that's the sense I get. Nobody
no
would be resentful
mad at
about
him.
That.
No one's happy. No one's mad at him. Everybody's happy for him. Do they probably wish he was with them? Yeah. But, you know, with injuries, short careers, you never know. If a team offers you $7 million more guaranteed, $2 million more a year, everybody's happy when guys get paid because you know how hard it is to get that money. Now, they might be a little jealous or envious after seven games you got that much money, but none of those guys is mad at Brock Osweiler. They all understand.
What would have happened if they would have rolled with Brock Osweiler in January?
It's hard to picture them winning the Super Bowl, so I'm going to say they probably would have lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I hear you, but you saw what Peyton did and didn't do. So why would it?
He didn't turn it over the first two games.
Yeah.
He didn't turn it over against the Steelers or the Patriots. That's why they won those games.
And you think Brock would have been forced into some turnovers against Pittsburgh?
He turned it over against Pittsburgh in the regular season.
Lastly, with Brock Osweiler, do you think that you just said in an awfully glib way, well, you're not winning the Super Bowl. Why can't the Houston Texans go to the Super Bowl this year?
I don't believe that Brock Osweiler is that good of a quarterback.
And that's the reason? Because everything else seems like that they got the bones to be a legit contender in the division and in the conference.
Bill O'Brien is a really complicated offense. I don't really believe that Osweiler is going to come in year one and pick it up that quickly. I got news for you. If you said to me, who would be the more productive quarterback for the Houston Texans in 2016, Brock Osweiler or Brian Hoyer, I would tell you it's Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer had more than a 2-to-1 touchdown interception ratio last year in Houston because he had been in that offense in New England with Bill O'Brien. He knew the offense. Brock Osweiler was coming in with a Kubiak's all play action, bootlegs. It's totally different. I predict Osweiler struggles. I predict people say it was a terrible signing and he's not worth the money.
Hmm.
And how about this? I think Hoyer would be better for Houston this year than Osweiler, but they didn't think they could keep Hoyer because of how bad he was in the one playoff game. Hoyer's getting $2 million. Osweiler's getting $18 million.
I hear
Think about that. Think about it. $18 million, $2 million.
I know.
And I think the 2 million guy is better.
I know, but that's I'm putting this in a vacuum, Handsome, that, you know, 18 versus 2, considerable amount of loot. But all things being equal, people forget. Brock Osweiler is far more talented, and I don't think Brock Osweiler is, you know, I'm trying to even think of who the gold, he's not an Aaron Rodgers level talent, but he's still far superior to Brian Hoyer, no?
I think he
doesn't
probably
doesn't that surprise is, you when people say that kind of thing?
I don't think far. I think far superior is overstating it. I think he can be superior, and I think you know Ross is right about that offense being pretty complicated. But you've got to assume that this guy, maybe, you know, that one extra day of OTA might be overstating it. But he's gonna have to pick up that offense quickly. The other pieces around him are pretty good, but I would say the thing that's holding the Texans back is the fact that every team in that division improved a lot during the offseason. The Colts have hopefully got a healthy Andrew Luck back and are going to be a better team than they were before. People may be talking a bit too much about the Titans, but I think the Jags are going to be a better team. I think I wouldn't be very surprised if that team came fourth in the AFC South.
Well, I mean, the AFC South, as these things go, and we point at it, it seems like perennially, and yet everybody still continues to be surprised. It's almost as if everyone under the sun isn't listening to the DDFP. You know, we need 100% listenership, not the current.
I'm going Jags.
Listen.
I'm going Jags.
Any
think.
Of those four
I'm go,
teams
I'm going
are
in with the Jags.
Going in with the Jags, exactly.
Well, if you do that, that's fine, but it's the same issue that you would have with the Houston Texans. Is Blake Bortles ready to carry that load? Because they've got the pieces just about everywhere
but
else.
Blake
now.
Bortles has been there for a while. And every year, you look back, every year, one of the top three or four free agency signings that at the time everyone gets excited about because they got thrown a ton of money, one of them fails without question every time, and I just wouldn't be that surprised if it's Osweiler.
There's almost no combo of the pecking order that you can put the four teams in the AFC South in that I would say impossible.
Right,
impossible
right.
that could yeah. be right. the result.
And the records as well.
Other than Tennessee not being good.
Really? I think a lot of people are on that Tennessee train.
No, there are not a lot of people.
Yeah, there are.
There are some, but they're wrong.
Name one.
I think the guys whose podcast you're also appearing on here at NFL Media around the NFL, I think they're collectively pretty high on the Tennessee.
But they
really?
Then they get circular about it and then go, but wait, the rest of the division's
DeMarco
good
Murray
as well.
Fever? They have DeMarco Murray Fever?
I think it's Mike Malarkey Fever. Malarkey Mania, they're calling it.
Yeah, you know, I am kind of with you, I guess. I think that they've been – this is one of those things that you see in the free agency
they're gonna
era.
They're going to be last. They're
where people
last
get very me. Excited about a team, and it's going to be a little bit longer. It's You know what they'll be? They're going to be the Jacksonville Jaguars of 2015.
Correct.
It's going to take them a little bit longer. It's not just magically.
I think it's more than a little bit. But
yeah, I would agree longer. With that. I would agree with that.
All right, start the show!
The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Yes, hi and hello, football fans. And as you may have noticed, we are fully into the show now. Hurry up.
That's the 11-minute offense.
Yeah, I'm glad Ross Tucker, you weren't in the K-gun in Buffalo, right? You never had to do the hurry up.
No, I was born in 1979, Dave, and I played for the Bills between 2003 and 2005.
All right, well, I'm saying that's a good thing because I don't think you would have done very well based on your performance in our hurry up there. But interesting, nevertheless.
Why would you start the show with the hurry up?
Because that's the way you do it. We get right to it, man. Here's the problem for Dave. Dave sometimes
Dave doesn't get right to anything.
Dave sometimes struggles to stay focused on the topic at hand. The hurry up forces Dave to address some issues right out of the gate, and then nobody can say, all you did was just joke around for an hour. No. Listen to the hurry up. We covered some stuff right at the top.
Are you talking in third person?
That's what I'm doing. And we're presented by McDonald's. You may have heard Ross Tucker loves all day breakfast. It's true. It's delicious. We have much to talk about. Real quick, self-promotion before we get into promoting Ross Tucker. At NFL.com and beyond, you can take a look at my QB groups. I rated the top 15 quarterback groups or at least in Super Bowl era history. You wouldn't be surprised. Who do you think I have number one there? Best quarterback group in NFL history.
What do you mean quarterback group?
Committee, you know, the three guys.
In the quarterback room.
Oh. Some year where it was Montana and Steve Young.
That's right. That's correct. But there are some other juicy ones to look up there, and then I'm also going to be issuing the worst 15 QB groups. Last week we discussed who is the second best wide receiver of the Super Bowl era. Ross Tucker, your answer.
I'd probably go T.O.
T.O. over Randy Moss.
Yeah, I didn't like Randy Moss's inconsistency. I think as a player, you really respect consistency. And, I mean, you look at T.O.'s numbers, he was good every year. There's some goose eggs and some not much from Randy Moss. I think Randy Moss has more talent, and I think Randy Moss has a higher upside. Certain years, obviously that Patriots year. But if you said who can you have for 15 years, I'll take T.O. because I'll take a receiver that's going to be darn good for 15 straight. He brought it every single game. It's not easy to do mentally, physically, the way he did it. So I would go T.O.
Well, I want to talk about that. That actually lends itself to transitioning into the story, not just in sports, but in all the news in the last many days is the Muhammad Ali passing. I want to talk about that before we get to that, and also we have to tackle the important subject of gravy and icing. There will be time for that, plus a Game of Thrones review. Right now, Ross Tucker, I met you about, I think, 3 or 4 years ago, fell very much in love and love being on the Ross Tucker football show. You call it the Ross Tucker football podcast.
That's right.
Right.
And we're not fancy with video.
But you have a universe of podcasts now. You do the Fantasy Feast.
Fantasy Feast, Even Money, the College Draft, and new one is The Business of Sports with Andrew Brandt, which is the first one that I'm actually not on at all. So if you don't like me, that would be the podcast for you.
an empire, positively podcasting empire, Ross Tucker, and a great fella at that, and at Ross Tucker is how you track him down.
NFL, at Ross Tucker, NFL.
You're one of those guys?
No, you know what happened?
Why do you need that? Why do you need the NFL? Like, you're not enough
no,
guy?
No, somebody else took it.
Oh, is that right?
Somebody else took Ross Tucker. He's like some finance editor from Yahoo. Here's what happened. When I first got on Twitter, it was like 2009 or whatever it was, Sports Illustrated said, you got to do this, because I was working for them, and they set it up for me at @SI_RossTucker. So for 2 or 3 years, my Twitter handle was @SI_RossTucker. Well, by the time I was no longer employed by them and I went to switch it, the imposter had taken my Twitter handle @RossTucker. So what else would I do? @Tucker, like you, like @Damashek?
That's right.
@Damashek actually works. @Tucker would not. @RossTuckerNFL works. But I wouldn't have done that unless I had to.
Have you asked the other Ross Tucker?
I direct messaged him one time and asked him to email me, and he didn't email me back.
He said, never heard of you.
He didn't email me back.
Hey, you roll your sleeves up all right. You did it exactly like Handsome Hank has done it, but I do it the better way. It looks weird when guys roll their sleeves up, but they don't go up over the elbow. I think that's a bad move. I think
Dave, you're obviously wrong, because there are two of us that are doing it the right way. And
you look scraggly, right. Disheveled. Where's some more words? I haven't used either one of those words in a long time. Scraggly, disheveled, unkempt.
You look a mess.
Unkempt, I would even say.
Yep.
You don't look good.
Is this audio only, or are you putting yourself on video today? This
no,
is audio only. Okay,
there's going to be one little video chunk for you upcoming, and it's going to relate to a subject that I mentioned before, but I don't want to give too much away. Make sure you stay tuned for that in audio and look for it on YouTube and or at NFL.com/podcasts, because I trust it will be good stuff. But now let's talk. Speaking about not good stuff, but the greatest of all time, and you mentioned T.O., and it strikes me that he has a bit of a – we talked about this not related to Ali a week ago, but it's interesting the difference in the way we react as a society, although I wasn't around in 1963 to really comment on it, but Ali, by the time I became lucid, was the biggest star I've ever seen and still have ever seen. Michael Jordan's stardom, I guess, comes closest to it, sort of transcending – national lines, and I don't know about Lionel Messi and guys like that, but it seems to me that Ali is the biggest sports star, and to be as charismatic as Winston Churchill, that's about as that's the level I would put him on in 20th century figures.
Well, I mean, for someone that has not performed since 1981 in terms of in their arena, to have this much of an outpouring from all over the place.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that.
I mean, over 30 years And yet he's still so revered. I mean, I was trying to think about more recent guys, like who, when they pass away at some point 20, 30 years from now, will we really talk about like this? I don't think we'll talk. I mean, we'll talk about Michael Jordan, how great of a basketball player he was and the shoes and stuff, but I don't think it'll be like it was for Muhammad Ali. I can't think of anybody even comes close.
I wonder at one point, he might have been the most famous person on earth, pretty much.
Oh, no,
I
mean, he was. Oh, he definitely was.
Beyond
person,
doubt.
I'm talking
about. Beyond
doubt. Oh, yeah, athlete. No. Oh, yeah. Person. No.
Right.
See, when he was
Michael
in?
Jordan's not going to be that.
I think, actually, I would say Michael Jordan probably for a couple of years there was the most recognizable face on the planet.
But since he retired, he's not out there doing a whole lot right now.
Yeah, but, you know, Tucker, that's an interesting thing. 35 years, I mean, and he basically vanished outside of, you know, in 96 at the Atlanta Olympics. He shows up and people go crazy for that. But it's not as though he was, you know, this ubiquitous figure after the early 80s. And, yeah, the outpouring is quite a thing. And another thing that's pretty different than Michael Jordan, I don't want to get up on Mount Pius, but he certainly didn't use his juice to make the world a better place. Ali did. I do think, though, that today's athlete, to just paint them all with the same brush, well, Ali's the only one who ever, why doesn't today's athlete do that? I will say, maybe in fact inspired by Ali, there are a lot of professional athletes that do good stuff. You know, I mean, Chris Long is a great guy.
Yeah, there are
his water boys. I mean, a lot of guys do great stuff. So I that's hit my ear a little weird that nobody is doing anything good at this point. The thing that to me with Ali that there's never been a close second to is the charisma/humor. I mean, he is, imagine. If you go back and look at those clips of Ali with the rhymes about how he was going to beat you and vaguely offensive sometimes even when he was doing it and the bravado and I'm the king of the world, I'm pretty, all that kind of stuff, talking about how good looking. Imagine if anybody did anything close to that. People like to say Richard Sherman's got a lot. No, Richard Sherman has nothing comparable to that. No offense to Richard Sherman, right?
Well, what's crazy to me about it is I saw Joe Banner, who's in his 60s, the former team president for the Eagles and the Browns. He tweeted, "For most of us, Muhammad Ali was the first rapper we ever heard."
Hmm.
I thought that was like the coolest line I've ever heard, because he's right. Like, when did the rapping start? Early 80s?
Ike late Taylor 70s? Said the exact same thing to me today. He said, if you think about it, he really should be hailed, and that hadn't occurred
he
to me.
Really is. Like his cadence and the rhymes and the way he went about it, he almost, I don't, maybe you'd argue that he did invent rap, because there was nobody else doing that back then.
And he also, more directly, I mean, every athlete should probably feel indebted. He's the guy who, I know Frank Gifford's doing, you know, cigarette ads and all that sort of stuff, but Ali is the first guy who really they start attaching major dollars to in endorsements, and he's doing TV shows, and he transcended being an athlete more than anybody to that point in history. And, you know, the other side of that coin is, if you want to knock Cam Newton for the celebrations, then understand that you're also knocking Ali, because Ali did it better than Cam Newton or anyone else ever did.
And maybe, was anyone doing it before that? I mean, I just don't think that there were athletes who were, you know, it was all let's shake hands and you know, everything's good, not telling everyone you're the best ever.
You know what I think is amazing is think about how there's still a lot of people that didn't like how Deion Sanders went about things and don't like how Cam Newton, you know, and it usually tends to be an older crowd, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, I'm sure there's some 65-year-olds that love the way Cam Newton goes about it, but as you get older and look at older people, more of them have a distaste for how Richard Sherman talked to Aaron Andrews or how Cam Newton goes about it. What was it like 40 years ago when Muhammad Ali was doing this stuff?
Right. It is funny, you know.
Like, think about how many people really dislike
him. There's
a death. You never hear about that.
When there's a death, people talk in platitudes. And
correct.
They erase any negativity. And I've seen a bunch of tweets, and other people have pointed at people who said this, and they, and, you know, it's wrong-headed. It comes from the right place when they say with Muhammad Ali, you don't see color. You didn't see color, and you didn't, you know, yeah, you or religion. Yeah, you did. That's the point.
Right.
That was,
he wanted you to see.
First of all, in the 60s, to Tucker's point, yeah, the country was divided. Imagine that. Imagine if the Lakers and Celtics or whatever rivalry is going on just divided a country. I guess to some weird degree, Pittsburgh Steelers, Dallas Cowboys did in the 70s. But, I mean, go ahead and read about it. Joe Frazier v. Muhammad Ali divided the country, you know, and who you sided with. That had to be very unpopular. It wasn't just merely charming and chuckle at the athlete. People hated Ali for what he was doing.
Right, and all we hear about now is how much everybody loves him and everything. But I can't imagine, I mean, some of the guys, the World War II guys and stuff, I mean, they couldn't have liked him. They could not have liked him.
I mean, this is a guy who changed his name. Then he wins the title. He's Cassius Clay, beats Sonny Liston, and in the press conference afterwards announces, my new name is Cassius X. And you know, for a brief time, then he becomes Muhammad Ali. Imagine somebody doing that. Imagine Peyton Manning or Von Miller, you know, like, oh, you're the Super Bowl MVP, Von Miller. No, I'm Von X now. How would that be received in today's America? Better or worse?
It almost as the guy that changed his name to Ocho Cinco.
I know, and we're politically – yeah, but you know, I don't know if we're more open minded or less now.
That's
and I
a
guess
good point.
I guess it depends on what specifically we're looking at in 21st century society. Because you see Cam Newton dances in the end zone and people are offended by that. But you know, it's easy to paint the past over because no one wants to be on the wrong side of history. So now you probably would have a hard time finding many people who say, like, yep, back in 71, I was all Joe Frazier. I hated that Ali.
You know what's funny? As a society, we're more open-minded, but social media, and especially the anonymity of social media, allows more people to express closed-minded views,
right,
if that makes sense.
Sure.
So there's no
yeah.
question we are more open-minded as a society, but because of social media, there's a better forum to express closed-minded beliefs.
Yeah, there's some extraordinary people out there.
Well, not in a good way.
No.
Yeah. But a bottom line is for me, I grew up in Pittsburgh. I revere Mario Lemieux and my Pittsburgh Steelers and all those guys. But to me, Ali's the one who broke through for me, and I didn't see him in his prime. I vaguely recall maybe the Larry Holmes fight right at the end. I remember that kind of happening. But in spite of that, go read. I hate when people preach to you about what you need to do. Hey, here's what you need to do with it now that this guy has died. But really, go read Remnick's Ali book. Go watch When We Were Kings. Go on YouTube and watch the highlights. You'll be blown away. Just think, as you look at any of those items, what if this was happening in 2016? What would be the reaction? I don't even know what it would be, but it's fascinating.
Muhammad Ali would have had a lot of followers on Twitter.
I bet he would have had at least like 100,000.
Yeah, easily. He probably already does.
Yeah, that's probably true now that you mention that. But anyway, the greatest of all time and not a close second place, all due respect to Charles Barkley and any other funny athlete that we've seen since. Ali is the all-time most charismatic. All right, the thing I really wanted to talk with you about, above all else, Ross Tucker, and I'm glad Handsome's here. He's a man who enjoys a good meal. He and I, by the way, you may not know, have gone across these United States and sampled the finest foods that football towns have to offer.
And non-football towns.
Right. We went to Austin. Right. Well, that's a college
football
town.
When was this? When did you guys do this?
We do. It's ongoing.
Everywhere we go.
Chicago, New York City, Phoenix, Arizona.
Austin, Texas.
San Francisco.
Thanks for the invite.
Well.
What were you guys doing in Austin?
We went to, what did you think we did? We went to, what was the name of it? It was delicious.
The barbecue joint.
Why were you in Austin?
Place like 30 miles out of town.
Why were you in Austin?
That's our business.
Right.
The issue today.
Well, I hope the NFL didn't pay for that because that's not an NFL city. So
actually,
I don't
did.
Know what actions you were taking in Austin. Your expenses should not have been reimbursed for that trip.
Listen.
All right.
Cop. Listen.
Wow.
Write a letter to Kamish Goodell. We have something more pressing right now. And in fact, you and I, Ross, park our cars in the same garage. I don't know if you noticed this, but Handsome, but late last week, Jeff Schwartz, who's a funny guy on Twitter, also an offensive lineman for the Detroit Lions now as of the start of free agency, he floated a cockamamie thing out there and thought no one would ever chime in and tell me he was wrong. He said that icing is better than gravy.
Wait. Well, you know the genesis of it.
No, I don't know the genesis
okay.
of it.
I was on my podcast, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, by the way. I was on my podcast.
How many plugs can we give it in that show?
I'm going to try. Anyway, but I was on my podcast, and I was talking about something football related. I said, well, that's just like icing or gravy at this point. And I said to my producer, Brian, I said, what do you like better, icing or gravy? And he said, oh, icing, easily. I said, no way, gravy. And Jeff, who's a loyal listener of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, tweets me 3 days later out of the blue. So he isn't listening on time.
Right.
But 3 days later, he said, team icing. And I that's why I tweeted back. I said, no. Gravy over icing any day of the week. You got my back here, Check. And
of course he did.
That's what
I brought in
Damashek.
Because, look, there are certain things that you're an expert in. And you had my back, rightfully so. And Jeff Schwartz obviously has no idea what he's talking about.
I have your back and I have my belly, and it was hard earned. You know, I threw icing and gravy, but of course gravy wins any day of the week. I didn't feel right bringing this subject up, though, without the guy who started it all. That's why right here he is, everybody, joining us from
that coming.
It's Jeff Schwartz. Jeff Schwartz, first of all, he's a busy man. He's coming for your throne, Ross Tucker, former offensive lineman making hay in media. Jeff Schwartz has his own podcast.
Yeah.
Lock him up.
I don't know how I feel about that.
And he wrote a book with his brother.
Yep.
My Schwartz with Mitchell
yes.
Schwartz.
It's a great title.
What's happening, Schwartz?
Oh, glad to be here to defend my icing comment.
All right. Why don't we start there? So the debate is gravy or icing. You go icing. We'll
yes.
all weigh in after you have your say.
Okay. First of all, I don't have a lot of sugar. So icing, whenever I get it, is incredible. It's the taste is unbelievable. It's pure sugar rush. But gravy is just used to put on dry food. If your food is cooked with enough flavor and it's ready to eat now and it's moist and ready to go, you don't need gravy on anything.
Hmm. All right. So I like that he's bringing an intellectual approach to this instead right. of just speaking from the heart and gut on this one.
Handsome. That is my gut.
Right, exactly.
The literal gut. Handsome Hank, try to make some sense. You're from the UK, and I imagine both of these items are
you're exactly
highly
right.
treasured.
And I've got a lot of experience with both, so I feel like I can weigh in. In the UK, where I went to college in the north of the UK, gravy is pretty much a staple, and it's not just dry food. They'll put it on absolutely anything, maybe even on a cake that would otherwise have icing. They might pour some gravy on that. So
no, they wouldn't really do that.
I'm not kidding. Gravy on fries doesn't sound like it would be a good idea, and I'd never eaten that before I got there. And now, of course, it's a staple. I absolutely love that. That's
oh, yeah.
Somebody tweeted, you would never put icing on cheese fries like you do with gravy. And Jeff Schwartz said, the cheese isn't enough. You got to put gravy on
for?
Cheese fries.
Well, what do you need gravy on fries?
Gravy on fries is delicious.
What do you need?
It's not about
the fry
need.
Itself. Like, I like the crispy fry, so the gravy on the crispy fry just would ruin it for me.
No.
But change it up. You want?
You don't put your fry in ketchup or mustard?
Every
now and then. I'll tell you what's really good. Actually, my brother turned me on to this. Is you can dip like an In-N-Out. You take your fry and you dip it into the shake. It's actually really good.
I've heard of that. I don't like that. I don't like that.
See, would you dip a fry into the icing?
Ew.
No.
That's bad.
No, icing's only on cake. It has no versatility.
Jeff Schwartz is right though. That sounds a little weird, but what you want is the salt and the sweet. That's what you get
right.
out of when you put a fry in your mouth and then take a sip of your – now, is it going to be a vanilla shake or a chocolate shake or a strawberry
vanilla.
One?
No.
Vanilla strawberry.
No.
No. Vanilla. No. Yes.
Who in the world orders
it's
vanilla
incredible.
Shakes?
Nobody
I do.
Vanilla.
I
no,
do,
don't.
As a matter of fact.
No, you vanilla don't. Chocolate shakes.
I love
you're both wrong. Chocolate and vanilla together. Get them to
yes.
Tell
yes.
them. I don't. I get it. You got
yes.
chocolate. You got vanilla.
What do they call that? There's a name for that.
It's got a name, like a brown something.
I like it.
No, it's a jack of all trades, master of none. That's what I call that shake. I have no interest in it.
Experimental,
no,
Dave.
No, chocolate shake. I love all desserts that are chocolate. Don't get me wrong. And I really like it when they're – you know what I do? Here's how much I enjoy chocolate. I get the dark chocolate bars, and some people, they get the 72% cacao. Not enough for me. I go up to 83. Whoa. Sometimes I'll roll up to 92% cacao.
That's intense.
Yeah, you can hardly get stronger, Jeff Schwartz. Right. No, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about icing and gravy. And in the UK, I imagine no nation, no region of the Big Blue Marble employs gravy more. So I respect your opinion.
Thank you. But I have an opinion on icing as well.
All right, go ahead.
Well, so I think a delicious cupcake with the great icing on there, all the flavors they've come up with. It felt like icing back in, you know, when I was a kid, there was probably like two flavors of icing. There was a vanilla or a chocolate, mm-hmm. just like we just took. Now you can get like rose petal flavored cupcakes and all this kind of crap that is like, wow, I had no idea. But it's, I mean, the basis of it all is around the
so
icing.
This is what it comes down to me. This is very important. So icing to me, it's too much. Like in a perfect bite of cake, for me, I'm looking at like a 95% cake, 5% icing ratio.
Oh, no.
Like a cupcake is like 50-50.
Yeah.
I mean, that's too much. To me, I just need a little bit of icing to be perfect. So, Schwartz, it sounds like you just eat icing.
Yeah, so if I get a cupcake, as I said, I don't eat dessert very often. If I get a cupcake, I will just, like, take the bottom off and just eat the top with the
that's
icing.
That's great. That's it was my son's two-year-old. It was his birthday at the weekend. He ate five cupcakes like that and just would hand over to me, right? Like, I'm done with this one. He'd completely taken the icing off the top.
That's obscene on multiple levels. That's gross on multiple levels.
He's still, like, he hasn't slept since
I don't
Sunday.
Know if if the Detroit Lions are going to appreciate you comparing their new offensive lineman to your five-year-old child, but either way,
this is a two-year-old, not a five-year-old.
It's a two-year-old. Thank you.
Well, what would you say, Sheck, is the ideal percentage of the cake to the icing?
Oh, I'm going Jeff Schwartz all the way. I mean, I don't understand, Tucker. It sounds to me like, and it's the same thing I said to Schwartz on Twitter about why would you put gravy on fries? It's because I'm not here to just survive. I'm here to live. You understand? That's what do I need gravy on my fries? No, I don't need it. But does it make life more pleasurable?
Right.
You bet my fat belly it makes it lot better.
But then why are you making us choose here, Dave? I mean, the right answer to this question is like, yes, I like gravy on my fries, and yes, I like
that
icing
is such
on
a British
cake.
Way to look at it. They're both good. You got to pick. This is America. Handsome Hank.
That's why
better?
I don't have to pick.
Which
in America, my understanding.
Which one's better?
My understanding is in America, you get everything.
No. Jeff Schwartz was given a choice in the offseason. Right. Either I could go to a new pro football team or I could stay where I am. And he had to make a choice. I like both. They're both are. No, that's not the way it works. You choose.
He chose the Detroit Lions.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, gravy is versatile in a way that you can use it on multiple things. Icing, you can only use on a certain thing, but there are so many different flavors now.
I love that the producer behind the glass just said into my ear, hey, you guys got to let Jeff talk a little bit. Yes, Jeff, please talk.
Oh, I don't know. You got to choose one. I choose icing.
All right. But Handsome's point is that there's more versatility in the world of icing, but
no, there's not.
Isn't it?
Gravy's the same thing. Isn't gravy always the same sort of base?
Yeah.
It's the same. Yeah, it's
whoa,
the same
whoa,
thing.
Whoa,
all the
whoa,
time.
Whoa! There's a wide spectrum of gravies.
I think
there is. My grandma's gravy is a lot different than your grandma's gravy.
I think you get the larger point.
Right.
There's beef gravy, there's turkey gravy, and that's
but you
gravy.
Put it on mashed potatoes. You can put it on veggies.
It's the same gravy.
Shepherd's pie. That's the best food that you guys ever created. You put it on shepherd's pie?
I think Jeff Schwartz inadvertently just made our point for us, and Tucker, you just inadvertently also helped make the point. That's right. It is the same thing over and over again. It doesn't need any upgrade or any fancifications. Unlike icing, which now has mint and peanut butter flavoring or, you know, lavender flavoring, gravy is gravy. It's either beef or turkey. And if you put one or the other on any food just about outside of pizza and sweets, you're going to be happier for it.
There's no question.
I mean, is there an argument against that? What,
no. There's no argument. I just don't eat gravy ever. I couldn't tell you the last time I had gravy.
I find that very hard to
believe. Because he eats food that's so moist and tender already.
I do.
That's the worst argument I've ever heard. So it's, just because it's a moist turkey, it's still better to have gravy on it. Just because it's not dry mashed potatoes, it's still better to have gravy on it. Do you put butter on your mashed potatoes?
I do the leg and the wing anyways, so I don't really have to like dip it in gravy for it to taste good.
But don't you?
No, I don't do mashed potatoes really.
Shorts.
I'm weird, man. I do macaroni. I do macaroni at Thanksgiving.
You know what I do? I'm glad you mentioned that because I would have forgotten about that. I put gravy on my macaroni and cheese
at
Thanksgiving.
Yeah. No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
It's just, why?
I want you to do this, Jeff Schwartz. When we finish here, I want you to go to your closest diner. I want you to sit down and say, give me an open-faced turkey sandwich.
Yes.
And as the waitress turns, say, excuse me, one more thing. Replace the mashed potatoes with fries, but put the gravy onto the fries. You, Jeff Schwartz, can hear me now and thank me later for that tip. Gravy fries. You've never had gravy fries?
Oh, I've never heard of them.
I don't know what rock. You never heard of them. How is that possible? How do you make it this far in life?
But you dip in milkshakes? But you never heard of gravy fries?
No, I grew up on the West Coast. I've never heard of gravy fries. So, I mean, that's not like a thing you do in Los Angeles. You go to In-N-Out, you get your fries, you put in the shake. It's awesome. A little ketchup on there. You don't need gravy.
You know what? I respect Jeff Schwartz. I don't agree with him here, but you know what I can tell from this brief conversation is he knows his way around a food plate. Right. You know?
I do.
He's no stranger to food because, you know, eating food is one of my passions, Jeff Schwartz. And you're a cook,
It is
though.
My favorite. Yes, it's my favorite thing.
That's your favorite of all passions.
You know, it's funny. People ask me all the time, am I the type of lineman that has to gain weight to play? And I'm like, no. I'm the guy that has to lose weight to play.
Which were you, Ross Tucker?
Lose as well. I mean, until after my rookie year, I always felt like I had to gain. And then, man, after that, I had to lose. I had to work on keeping it down.
All right, let me issue a final verdict on this one. I feel bad because I can't be an impartial judge on this one. I've made my opinion pretty clear, I feel. I respect icing, and in fact, I enjoy it so much. High-end icing, Ross Tucker, you're wrong about that because I want a good cake. This is another conversation, but I can't help but veer into this a little bit, the cake versus pie argument. And I go, you know, this is one of Adam Carolla's favorites. This has rolled for 15 years with him. And, you know, he's right about that. Pie is better than cake. But the thing that salvages cake is a lot of good icing.
Well, cake is icing. No one is like, I'd like to hold the icing.
What are you talking about? Ross Tucker just said he wants 5%.
Right, he still wants some.
I need a little bit.
Is a famously smart offensive lineman. Went to a big school, all this stuff. I think he's got his percentages all screwed up on this. I don't think he knows what 5% of icing would look like. Would be like spreading butter. Like the
40% of a good cake with the three layers of icing.
Three layers, then you need
on
to
the
have,
back.
Like,
in an measure
it
in
out.
An ideal bite.
Right.
How much percentage of cake is how much percentage
I would
of icing?
Say 17% icing.
No. I just said 40 to 50%. Jeff Schwartz, how say you?
50-50.
Yes.
So wait a minute.
50-50, that's impossible.
But a slice of cake is only the icing on top, right. Usually. And
no!
Then the side.
So where have you been? There are the layers of icing in between. A three-layer cake has one icing, then then icing, and then icing on the top, and then on the back.
The icing layers aren't as thick as the cake layers.
I said 40%. Take it up with Jeff Schwartz. I didn't say 50. All right.
That's the side of the cake.
The side of the cake.
Well, if you get the side, that's true.
I defy anyone who's anti-icing to tell me that the middle of the cake that has the littlest icing on it goes more quickly than the backside does. Come on.
Right.
Wake up.
But there's always a moment with me at least when you know that you've gone beyond the 40, maybe let's call it 40% if you want to, that range because your teeth hurt as you bite.
And you know what, Jeff Schwartz? Here's something to consider.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of what would be when I would say too much gravy. I know I've never said that now that I think it through. Now
you know
that
why? You know why? Because even if you put too much on, then at the end of the meal, here comes the bread.
That's right.
And you sop up whatever's left over from whatever you ate and the gravy. You can't do that with icing. You can't sop up icing at the end.
I don't think, now that you say that, I don't think there has ever been a plate that's been taken away from me that still had gravy left on it. No matter how much gravy was there.
The flip side of that is how many times do you get your plate and the first thing you do is put your finger in and do that, whereas with a cake, you know, how many times did your mom tell you off there's a cake there? You immediately drag your finger through the cake. You have like a mound of icing on it. You eat that.
Yeah, that's gross to me. I would never do that.
Well, you're weird.
No, yeah, you're wrong on that one, Tucker. I think we've all made some good points and some bad points. You know, no one comes out of this without having a little bit of red in their face here. It's an embarrassing discussion to have. But ultimately, I am going to go gravy. There can be too much icing. And this is the cherry on top, which I don't eat that either. But you know what else? On a cake, I never went in, even as a kid. When they do the designs atop the birthday cake and it's like a flower or whatever it is for a boy, maybe it's a, you know, I don't know, a castle or whatever. That bit of icing is repellent to me. I don't even – you know what I'm talking about at the birthday party?
It's a hard
icing, different type
of
icing.
Well, it's not good. And that
and also –
that's icing. Don't say it's not good because you can't just eliminate –
Don't shout at me. Well, I'm agreeing with you.
You can't just eliminate it and say, well, that's not good. Well, that's icing, and so that hurts its case.
Right. Hey, this is very important, okay? And I know the answer is both. And, Jeff, I want your opinion. But when you were younger and now, you go to a birthday party, ice cream or cake? You want ice cream or cake? And I know a lot of times they'd give you both. But if you had to pick one, Jeff, ice cream or cake?
Cake.
Oh, my gosh. No
What about pie or
no
cake?
No chance.
A good pie is better than cake because cake can be dry. Pies normally are pretty good.
Correct answer.
Ice cream or cake?
I mean, you're not going to like my answer. I don't love ice cream. I like, but I'm not one of these people who's obsessed by it. I know you're a big ice cream
guy,
Tucker.
I'm a huge ice cream guy. Hank?
I mean, I love ice cream, but I love cake. They're too difficult for me to decide on.
This is
unfair. I don't feel like I should have to.
This is unfair to say this because I don't like when people do this with Krispy Kremes versus Dunkin' Donuts. I go, well, Krispy Kreme is the gold standard of donuts. Yeah, as long as everything's just right, as long as it's warm and just out of the oven and all these conditions you put on it, it's like, well, then it's not the best then if it has to be just right. However, flourless chocolate cake beats any ice cream. End of story.
Well, here's you bring up a good point about Dunkin' Donuts. If you were getting paid $1,000 per munchkin, how many munchkins could you eat?
Well, I'm a man who once ate 70 wings in 13 and a half minutes in a timed contest.
Wow.
Incredible.
Yeah, I'm a great eater.
What kind of wings were these?
Chicken wings. What do you mean what kind of wings were they?
All kinds of different sizes. And was it regulation? You probably had one bite and then threw it into the pile.
It was BW3s, I think, which is now called Buffalo Wild Wings. It's the gold standard. I don't know if it's the gold standard, but it's the wing.
What heat are you eating at?
I don't know, but listen, this was when I was in college. That's not the point.
Very hot or extreme.
Why can't you marvel at my feet instead of asking specifics like that? Jeff Schwartz, I almost called you Jeff Fisher. Jeff Schwartz, how many of the, what are they called?
Munchkins.
What's
the time? We need a time period here. Is it 10 minutes?
I could put down a lot of those things. Back in my day, like I don't eat as much as I used to. I've had like some meals that are excessive.
I was gonna say you're looking.
Jeff, how much do you weigh today?
340.
340 says I've had some meals that are excessive in life. Yeah, I'm gonna go with that. I'm gonna believe you.
But I don't do that anymore. I don't know. Probably. I mean, I got 30. Maybe is 30 a lot?
No.
In 10 minutes now. How many could you do, Tucker?
I could do 100.
I'd probably get
110 minutes.
Get sick.
That's 10. Yeah, that's Cool Hand Luke.
10 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds like a lot, I guess. Yeah. The actual chewing part.
How much time?
I can do at least 50.
How much time did Cool Hand Luke have to eat the 50 eggs? Wasn't that an hour?
Is that what he had, an hour?
And you're saying you could eat 100 of the same sized food in 10 minutes.
Dude, you don't, even have to chew them. You just, like, swallow
them. But you would be consuming one every 10 seconds. Every 10 seconds, you would have to swallow another
blueberry
one.
Cake donuts. Blueberry cake donuts.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but.
Those would be the ones I'd pick. Or glazed.
You know what? I like, it's underrated, and a lot of my friends make fun of me for it. A cherry cake donut. Very underrated.
Ew.
Don't, ooh. Nothing.
Never seen it.
Hey, Jeff Schwartz, that was excellent. Final verdict. This is, I'm going to go to the card on this one, but ultimately Ross Tucker wins this one. Do you agree with that assessment? I know you do, Handsome, right? We win Gravy. If we took a hand vote here, 3-1, Gravy wins. Oh, Handsome, wait a second, a holdout.
He won't pick.
All I'm thinking about right now.
Switzerland over here. Switzerland.
All I'm thinking about right now is what have I eaten more of recently? What do I go to? When I go to the well, which well am I going to?
It's the summer.
The gravy well.
It's the summer.
I live in California. I don't remember the last time I had gravy, really.
Thank you.
That's what I'm saying.
I go to the icing well a lot.
I like to live in a world that offers both items.
If you're not going to take one away from me.
Icing and gravy, if you please. All right, Jeff Schwartz, how's it going up there in Detroit, by the way?
Oh, it's going great. We got a good group of guys, and I like our new offense, and it's nice to be healthy and move around, and OTAs are what they are, and I'm just looking forward to the season.
Is it weird? I mean, I know obviously you weren't there when Calvin Johnson was, but do you feel, is anybody, any of the guys around there, do they feel a little gutted? Does it feel, has anybody remarked, wow, this feels different out here without 81?
Not really. Most of the questions I get about him are from the media members. Otherwise, no one really in the facility mentions him very much. We don't watch a lot of film of last season, just the way we're installing our offense. So there's not much talk about him. I know we're kind of humming along. Things are kind of going now. We've got a couple OTAs under our belt, and no one's mentioned him. Obviously, it would have been great to play with him. He's one of a kind, but we moved on, I think.
Ross, who are you picking in the NFC North this year? Go ahead. Jeff Schwartz is sitting there. You're not going to hurt his feet.
Oh, I won't. Yeah, the Lions will get third. Yeah, I'll give him third.
You know what? I think that they
guess who's winning the NFC North? Who might be going to the Super Bowl?
You better not say the Bears, because that would be ridiculous.
The Minnesota Vikings. Dude, look at the Vikings roster.
I know.
They are loaded. Depth everywhere. Corners, D-line, everywhere. If Bridgewater takes the next step in year three, they've upgraded the O-line. They got 8 or 9 guys that are legit starters now. If Bridgewater takes the next step, what do you always say? Hear me now, thank me later, believe me later, whatever. Whatever you say, whatever Sheck says, that's what I'm saying about the Minnesota Vikings going to the Super Bowl this year.
That's bold stuff, man.
June, whatever it is, I said it right here on the DDFP.
Well, I'll say this to Schwartz and to the Minnesota Vikings. It's wrong-headed that they decided to put domes on both those stadiums in Minnesota and Detroit. The NFC North should be outside forever. Every home game in the NFC North should be played in the elements, but it is what it is. Does it hurt your feelings, what Ross Tucker just said, Jeff Schwartz? It looks like it did.
It does not hurt my feelings. I will second that I love playing outdoor football. We have 13 games this year inside. That's crazy.
13?
Whoa! Yuck.
Yeah.
We have 13 to 16 games inside this season. We play 2 outside in September and not another one till we go to New York in December. So I am fully on board with outside football.
Now, Jeff, is that something that the coaches talked to you about, or you just went through and counted yourself that it's 13 indoors?
I think I saw that somewhere, but we're at Houston, we're at New Orleans, we might be at Indy, and then obviously, then we have a couple more, a road game somewhere. But yeah, I look at that sort of because I like playing outside. I like playing on grass, over turf, and obviously we have a turf field. It's not gonna be that big of a deal, but I just like playing on grass.
What is ultimately worse? Because it seems to me most players I talk to these days, even if they're playing in Minnesota, Chicago, Green Bay, Detroit, whatever, they always will say, well, yeah, given the choice, I would definitely be in a warm climate, because it seems more and more football players are coming from Southern California, Texas, and Florida more so than they are Pennsylvania and the old places like that. But what's ultimately worse, playing at the start of the season when it's 100 degrees outside, which it is in a lot of those stadiums, or when it's 0 degrees?
Ooh, zero. Because the reason why is you can hydrate enough. You can get IVs. You can do all this stuff in warm weather. In cold weather, your joints hurt. Your hands are – they hurt. Your just body never gets warm. You never get into the flow of things. I played in both. I played in games in Carolina that were over 100. I played in games that were close to zero. And the only time the close to zero games are any fun are when you win the games. Otherwise, it's awful.
But the smells must be just beyond imagination.
I think I'd rather be cold than hot. It's a game, I think I'd rather be on the cold. Because when it's really hot, man, I mean, that drains you. I mean, you can try to hydrate, but that just drains you. Whereas the only thing that's good about really hot games is the D-line get tired before you do.
Exactly.
Because D-line is the most tiring position of football by a lot.
Because why? Because every time is resisting your
– Well, no, because every time it's a running play, almost every time, they've usually – the play starts with two guys blocking. That's 600 pounds of dude that they're trying to hold up against, right, and stay on their ground. Then there's nothing more tiring than pass rush. I mean, pass rush, just try it sometime. As an offensive lineman, we pretty much just kind of stand there. Like, all right, yeah, where are you going? Where are you going? And they have to expend so much energy to try to get around you or over you. That's why teams play 10 D linemen, because they have to. Because it's like D line is like the closest thing to ice hockey, where you need like a line shift. Because when they're out there for their 50 seconds or whatever it is in hockey, I know, Sheck, you're all over it, that those guys are gat. They need a break. That's what D line's like in the NFL, which is why teams go no huddle. And why, like, during a two-minute drill, if you get the first three plays, then you're going to score, because those guys get so tired, they can't even get out of their stance. The lactic acid builds up in their legs. It's hilarious. And quarterback can just pick them apart out
Jeff
of that.
Jeff Schwartz, lactic so acid or gravy?
It is. If the lactic acid helps the defensive lineman not rush, I'll choose that instead. Or if gravy. If they get too fat and switch gravy, I'll take that too.
What about this? Back to my idea about that, because I brought this up to some guys, and I don't know if anyone's taken me up on this yet, but it seems like a keen thought, is especially early in the season, like I say, in that heat, you think the stench coming off of those guys would be horrendous to begin with.
I love that this is what you're worried about.
How about this? The first in the week leading up to the game, don't shower. Imagine Linval, Linval Joseph. He wouldn't want to be handling you. He'd be like, "Oh, Schwartz smells too bad. I got to run away from him, Coach. I'm sorry."
Why are you so worried about smells?
I know. I said,
what do you mean? Because I'm a human being, and it's it's
unbecoming. Who's told you that we're smelly? Who's like put this in your head that we're so smelly? That's such a bad conditions out there.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Why are
bigger people so much smellier than smaller people?
Maybe it hadn't occurred to me about 10 minutes in here, but I think as Handsome can attest, now that we're shut in this small space with the offensive lineman Ross. No, I kid. Hey, Jeff Schwartz. Now let's transition, much to Ross Tucker's chagrin, and talk quickly, because as it happens, we are big Game of Thrones fans here, and you and your brother Mitchell are also big Thrones fans, eh?
Oh, huge Game of Thrones fans. And it's not a show that I would ever normally watch. I don't watch like sci-fi. I don't watch like weird wizardry stuff happening. I just don't watch those shows ever. My brother told me to get into it. It is the only show I sit down and watch every week. It's incredible.
You're a legit 340. It's not like you're forcing that weight on. How would you fare in Trial by Combat against the Mountain?
Ooh, that's a good question. He almost lost to the Viper if he didn't squish his face. So
right. Mm-hmm.
I definitely have a better mobility. So maybe I could sneak around. I don't know what weapon I would use. Maybe a spear. I think a spear. Keep your distance away from the guy. But this Trial by Combat hopefully happens next episode or episode 8. It's going to be incredible.
You could use your leftover cupcake remains after you play the thing. I've just thrown those all
some
over.
Some gravy in his eyes. How would you react if he went for the eyes, though, knowing that what's coming after that?
I'd probably be dead before I could think about it.
True. Good point.
Yeah. I mean, that's a terrible death. That's one of the worst deaths on that show, and that's saying a lot, because there's a lot of killing.
Really, yeah.
Is that the worst death we've seen? The other options are having what was the substance poured on Daenerys's brother's head the molten iron or whatever.
Yeah, gold, I think. Was
gold?
It. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was gold. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, molten gold. Would you rather have that poured on your head, have your eyes pressed out until your skull explodes?
I think having you being smashed against the wall by a giant.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty bad.
That was a bad death.
What about the red lady with the...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the ghost lady.
The ghost.
Or, yeah, speaking of that, or burned alive by one of your parents.
Wow. You went there.
That's a pretty bad setup.
Burned alive would be the worst, I would think, by your own parents. That's...
Why? Why, Mom? Bad. Why did you do... Yeah, that would not be fun.
That's bad.
That's bottom of the barrel.
So many bad deaths in the show. I love how you can just talk about them. Like, it's like a staple of a television show. Oh, this person died this way. How cool is that?
Incredible. What do we think about Arya's fate? She met the waif, and just like I said in last week's preview here on DDFP, what did I tell you, handsome? I said, now we have to be wary every scene that Arya is in. You don't know. Somebody's going to come up to her, and it could be the waif. In a mask, and we didn't have to wait long. It was that old lady. Hello, little girl. Pretty girl.
Oh, you're beautiful.
Stab.
I was really hoping that she would be first with a needle and just end that girl. I think she'll live, obviously. I think they want to keep her alive. There's a storyline coming with her somewhere. I actually think the person who's going to save her is the actress who she did not kill. That's going to just be like, she'll be like in the street somewhere, and she'll come and try to save her as best she can. And then maybe she'll get on that ship back home. Maybe she won't. But I think she's going to try to have some revenge, and maybe her and the Hound will meet up again at some point and just wreck shop.
That would be nice.
By the way, I've heard a little fan theory is that Arya and the Waif are the two personalities of Arya Stark battling. And this is what Jaqen, the faceless guy or whatever his name is, Jaqen the faceless man or whatever, has arranged as to have. She is still battling to be the girl with no name, and by slaying the waif, she would then finally become a part of that weird fraternity.
I have not heard that. I've heard a lot of theories. Yeah, that's the first I've heard of that one.
I don't know if I believe it. I'm just sharing it with you.
I don't really know where the Arya thing is going. That's like the one storyline where we don't have any idea. We kind of have an idea of what's happening with Jon Snow and even with Bran. I mean, there's sort of an idea, but there's no idea with Arya. I have no clue.
Do you so now we see Jon Snow is waiting troops. I'm a little bit confused
by... He was trying to raise an army, basically. He was knocking on everyone's door. Hey, would you like to be in my army? And most people were like, not really.
Nah,
no, sorry. Good. And then the one that did, after a lot of persuasion, said, you can have all 62 of my soldiers. I think he was expecting more than that.
Yeah, that was sort of sad that they had to kowtow to a 10-year-old girl the way they did.
And then get 62
soldiers. Hey, Ross Tucker, feel free to chime in on
chime
any
in
of
anytime
this.
You want.
You know, I'm really trying hard to act interested. You know, I'm like nodding my head every once in a while.
Don't bother. Don't patronize
I don't know.
Us.
Why don't you
watch the show?
Because I'm a good dad. Because I have kids.
Wait, what's that mean?
How do you have a chance? How do you watch a show like that when you have little kids?
9 o'clock at night. What time do your kids go to sleep?
At 8, and then I go to sleep because I'm tired.
Jeff Schwartz, just tell Ross Tucker he's a better parent than any of us.
Yeah,
that's what he wants. Congrats.
I love my kids. I care about my kids.
And that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
What a creep.
So, in a way, the subtext is we're bad dads.
I didn't think.
I didn't say that, handsome. I mean, I didn't say that. I'm just saying, I don't watch the show because I have children that are important to me, and you guys can take it from there.
What do you think Jeff Schwartz becomes of the Hound storyline? Now, the Hound looks raring for a fight. And as an update for those of you who are keeping tabs on our Game of Thrones fantasy league. People laughed when Dave Damashek, about a month ago, selected the Hound.
I don't think we did. I think what we said
in the second tier,
it was the ultimate injury risk. You either get a guy who's ready and primed to kill, or you get a guy who's dead. And that's, you know, in the draft, for example, as a GM, you'd probably take him off your board.
Well, now I'm positioned. I have Jon Snow, who's about to wreak havoc up in
How does the
Winterfell.
Game work?
Well, you get points for kills. You get points for sweet lovemaking. And for promotions,
we still haven't kind of worked
in the
out
military.
What the promotions thing is, but yeah,
promotions in the military,
or what? You know, any
like
you know,
if you
in
become
royalty,
the the thing.
If you get named king or
the
something.
The hand.
Yeah, if you're made a hand, I think.
Right.
Something like that. I can't. You know what, Jeff Schwartz?
We haven't really wrapped up.
I don't know what's happening. I watch week after week, and I mean,
you are minus points.
Is that person related? Why does he care about what happens? What does it mean? Oh, when did that? Has that person ever
That's
been
the
on?
Thing about this show. It's crazy how like there will be no like like the Stark, the uncle who didn't show up from season one to season five or six and save Bran. Like he wasn't in for five seasons. He just shows up.
How
one
are we
day,
supposed to know
like,
who that is?
You're like, who's this guy?
What channel is it on? Oh, come on.
Yeah.
How dare you, Ross Tucker?
The whole Sunday night lineup on HBO is awesome.
Right. Yeah, that's
Silicon Valley as
Silicon
well.
Silicon Valley.
Veep is incredible.
I saw you tweeting about Veep earlier in the week. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're a man of many colors. A lot of colors in Jeff Schwartz's rainbow. Last thing, Jeff Schwartz, where do you come down? What if I were to tell you that I once saw a grown man going out for the evening, or in fact returning from a night out on the town, big party, big industry party, lot of eyeballs on you, and you come back in wearing shorts and flip-flops. Is that appropriate in your book?
Did you start the night in shorts and flip-flops?
Well, I mean, the figurative you, yeah, that person did start the night in shorts and flip. I'm going out to see some of my colleagues, make some new friends. There will be hundreds of people there. You know what? I'm going to wear shorts and flip flops tonight.
You can't do that.
No,
and I'm a casual dresser. I've improved my wardrobe over the years, and I love a good flip flop. Don't get me wrong, but I would say probably not.
So, Jeff, we need some context for the figurative you, who might be the figurative me.
Of course, you're talking about you.
It was Arizona. It was
nighttime in January. It wasn't like it was 119.
It was Arizona. It was the party was at a golf course or a beach or something. I don't know.
It was not at a golf course or a beach.
It wasn't a golf course. It wasn't a golf course.
On the golf course, or was it inside the facilities of the whatever?
No, it was inside like a big tent at the golf course. It was not some big industry thing where I cared about seeing Dave Damashek and people like that. And I will have you know this, that I took transportation to that event with Jason Taylor on the media bus.
What do your name drops have anything to do with your attire?
Because he got made fun of very bad because people like Jason Taylor don't usually take – like the media bus is for like – like
probably because there are people with wearing flip-flops on there. That's why.
Look, your self-loathing of your feet, that's on you.
I got no self-loathing
yes,
of my
do.
Feet. What
yes,
I loathe. No, I don't, as a matter of fact. I have many flaws, but having a stink foot ain't one of them. That's not true. My feet are fine. But you know what? I've said it before. I'll say it again. Women in our society go through a great deal. There is a centuries-old pressure to represent themselves in a certain way. Women wear brassieres. They wear high heels.
Got it.
They go through the makeup and everything else.
I got it.
The least that this gender can do to help repay some of that stuff that they go through is to not wear your slippers out in public. You don't have to wear your bare stinking feet.
What's wrong with the feet?
Because women
you
are
– hate the male
Women
foot.
Are fetching. What? Yes,
what
it's grotesque.
See, it's not.
What type of flip-flops were they? That's a big thing. Were they leather?
Tiva.
Like Ola? Were they leather?
No, they were not like nice leather.
Okay.
They were like
yeah, no, can't do that.
I would love if they were strappy.
They were
around
like
your ankle.
Yeah, strappy.
They were like, dude, you're lucky I didn't wear my Crocs. I could have worn my camo Crocs
oh,
that
no.
night.
No, you're
oh,
lucky you didn't wear those because I'm talking about it even more. Jeff Schwartz, what a pleasure. We've covered all of it, I think. Pretty much.
I think we have team icing.
Can you do me a favor? Dave, can you do me a favor?
Yes.
Can you just say to Jeff last thing for like the ninth time? I just want to say, so Schwartz.
I'll host my show the way I see fit, sir. And don't you encourage him behind the glass. I don't like that one bit.
He said last thing nine times.
Believe me, I'm used to that.
You know what? So what? There was more meat left on that bone. I dipped it in the gravy and kept on eating. Jeff Schwartz, go get his book along with his brother Mitchell. Eat My Schwartz and Block 'Em Up is the name of the podcast. Available on iTunes, Schwartz?
Yes, everywhere.
You really have a book?
Yeah.
Why are you so surprised?
What's it about? Oh, it hasn't come out yet.
September 6th. We're the first two Jewish brothers in the NFL since 1923. So it's about our faith and our family. There's recipes in there. It's a good book. I enjoyed reading it.
Last thing. Are you a bar mitzvah?
Yes.
Is that true? Do you remember your half Torah?
I do not.
No.
I was not an overachiever. I had it recorded for me. I memorized the recording and I just read it off.
Oh, I went hardcore. I actually learned my half Torah portion. I could read it all. I've retained none of it, but how about that? Striking a blow for the Hebrews out there. That was a joke forever. Growing up, you had no real role models. Sandy Koufax, Mark Spitz, that was it. Now there are a lot of Jewish guys in pro sports, huh?
Yeah, there's a good amount of us. I think there's more owners in the NFL than players. I had a trainer of mine who would joke around that I should be owning the team, not playing for it. That was pretty funny. He said that. He said that like 15 times. He probably told me that 15 times.
Did you hear that audio?
I think that was Charles Barkley asking me what a matzo ball was. Hit that again.
Oh, you're Jewish? What the hell is a matzo ball?
Matzo balls are delicious. I like matzo balls.
What is the best Jewish food, Jeff Schwartz?
A matzo ball. Is smoked salmon, is lox a Jewish food?
I count it as that.
I would eat lox every breakfast if I could.
It's very good. Here's one more tip to send you out with. Go to your local deli and for breakfast tell them give me the lox, onions, and cream cheese and scramble them all into the eggs together.
Yeah, I'm not because then it cooks the lox sort of, right?
Just listen to what I'm telling you.
What lox is just raw salmon?
Smoked.
Why do they call it lox? Why don't they call it smoked salmon?
What's in your business? The name is what it is. Although,
lox is a Jewish thing.
Last thing, Jeff Schwartz.
You've opened a whole can of worms because I am fascinated by why certain foods get renamed when we eat them but others don't. Like, you don't, hey, I'll take some cow. No, you want beef. You don't say, yeah, I'll take 12 ounces of cow. No, I'll have the beef. You don't eat swine. You don't say, give me the swine chops. No, it's pork,
right.
You know?
Right.
But chicken is chicken.
Right.
They didn't rename chicken. Why didn't it get that?
And salmon is salmon unless it's lox.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then also, actually, even fish is seafood. What? That's just a more generic one.
Fish is seafood. People ask for a specific type of fish. You don't just go in and say, I'd like some seafood.
I know. It has one overarching title to it, one name.
I mean,
seafood.
So meat.
Poultry has an over. Right. That could be many different birds.
Meat for pork.
Now, wait
and beef.
A second. Now, see, that's because there is beef encompasses steak and hamburgers and so on, doesn't it?
That's like the varieties of fish.
Let's try
really
to change
call
it.
Meat pork. I don't really like it. When you say meat, I think beef for some reason. Mm. I don't think pork. I think like beef and pork separate.
Right,
but poultry covers everything.
This really is the last thing, and I'm going to ask it. I'm going to ask one more question to you. I'm going to start with you, Jeff Schwartz. You can only eat the flesh of one beast for the rest of your days to the exclusion of all other beasts.
This is so easy.
Which one is it?
Oh, a cow.
Cow. It's a
good
answer.
No way.
Because you get burgers, steaks, beef tenderloin, beef ribs.
No, it's pig.
Handsome.
I think pig, we've been through it before. I think pig, but I think fish. If you give me the whole seafood, if you give me everything that lives underwater, everything that lives underwater, I may choose that.
You know what?
As I mature, I may choose that.
Even if I gave you that,
that's
I think
no
you
fun.
Would be I think 6 weeks in,
yeah,
you'd
I'd
be sick
tired
of
it.
I think you'd be sick of it.
And that's why I'm going with pig.
Oh, it's pig. Are you kidding me?
Finally, it comes full circle.
Ham,
Tucker and I are back on board
ham,
together.
Ham, pork chops. I mean, I could have bacon for breakfast.
How about linked meat? All linked meat.
Sausage, hot dogs. Where do hot dogs come from? thing?
Well, actually, beef, you can get an all beef. You can get an all beef wiener. You can get the all beef wiener sometimes. Yep. But all right, listen. You know what? It's over with now. It's enough already. Can I go home already, you guys?
Yes.
You finished with all the nonsense?
You evidently are the one that decides.
All right, Jeff Schwartz again. Ad block them up. Stay healthy and listen. Let's kibitz again soon. About if nothing else, let's talk Game of Thrones again.
Let's do it, guys. Thank you.
The great Jeff Schwartz, everybody. And I mean it. Great. I have, you know what I am? I'm sort of like Robert Redford was the horse whisperer. That's who the horse whisperer was.
I think he was, yeah.
Robert Redford. I am the football player whisperer. I can tell which guys are going to be delightful. I had a sense about this, Jeff Schwartz, and I think I've been proven
right. You're right again.
Once again.
Yes.
And I fell very much in love some years ago. When Handsome Hank said, "Oh, you got to connect with this Ross Tucker because he's up the alley of what DDFP is," and Handsome called the shot on that one. The great Ross Tucker, everybody. What do you want to promote? Go ahead, say it all. Tell me it all.
Oh, just Ross Tucker Football Podcast. I got a bunch of podcasts that you can check out over at rostucker.com. Fantasy Feast, Even Money,
Numbers,
College Draft. Andrew Brandt has a new one, which is cool. The Business of Sports. And just follow me on Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL, because then I post up there.
All right, we're going to kibitz with
Well,
AJ.
No, last thing. Oh. No, I'm just kidding.
Great stuff. Great visit here in studio with our pal Ross Tucker, as you heard. Check out all those podcasts, and check out this podcast later in the week. AJ Hawk is going to be in studio.
Ooh.
I catch up with Ike Taylor. I hope Handsome Hank's free for that. Make sure you're available for it. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. Start the music one last time. It's been a thin slice of heaven. Ross Tucker likes gravy more than icing, and he is absolutely right.